And we're live. Welcome back to the Leaner Stronger podcast. This is Coach Peter.
Coach Teresa.
In today's episode, we are going to deliver you a action and jam-packed pint of juicy fruit that is so applicable to you, because we're going to cover what are the things that we wish we had known about training sooner. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead first. I'm going to start by saying something that I'm really happy that I learned very, very quickly. And me and my friends, we just stumbled on it completely by accident. And that was working hard, working hard. Back when I started training, when I was 16 years old in Finland, and basically for the first 5 years, no, let's make it for the first 4 years of my training career, when I started training, initially I weighed about 65 kilograms, so I was a very lanky guy.
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
And I was only a couple centimeters shorter than what I am today.
What?
100%. I was very skinny, very lanky.
Oh my god.
Totally. Yeah. So when people say that you have the genes, like, no man, like, just look at some of the photos of me. Like, I was a really, really skinny kid. Yeah. Back then when we were training, I had zero idea what I was doing. Me and my friends, we had zero idea. Like, we would scour this, especially like bodybuilding.com, except in Finnish. And it's like this forum. And then we'd watch these YouTube videos of like professional, especially professional Finnish bodybuilders. And we would just pick something that looks kind of fun. Let's give that a shot. But there was like no real structure to our approach. But the one thing that was really good was that we went balls to walls, and we took pride on like how much we could destroy ourselves on the leg press, for example.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we weren't just like fluffing around in the gym, we were actually like really getting after
it. Yeah, like you were going to failure, I guess, multiple sets.
We were training really, really close to failure, and sometimes that's not the best, like you shouldn't do that all the time, but that's a very, very important thing to learn how to do. If you don't know how to push yourself to your limits, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. You can have the best program and all that, but if you don't know how to train hard, it's like you're not going to get very good results. So we had that. But then we were missing the other side of the coin. We didn't really have any kind of a program at all. We rarely did the same thing 2 weeks in a row. Even when it was the leg day, it was always like, well, what do you feel like starting with today? Oh, that machine is free, or that machine looks kind of fun. Let's go and do that one. But now, knowing back, like, obviously from like exercise science perspective, that's the completely wrong approach. Mm. Because you need to do the same thing again and again and again for at least like 4 to 6 weeks so that your body actually knows what is it that you're trying to get better. If you're always throwing different things at your body is actually never getting good at anything. You're just exposing yourself to a lot of different things. And you're like, yeah, but I'm really sore every time I train. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that you're making great progress. You're getting sore because you're giving your body a novel stimulus. You're doing something new, and that's because you're getting sore. But that doesn't mean that you're actually making the best progress. So you need to expose your body to the same stress repeatedly, and then do more, apply progressive overload for the best results.
Which is funny, actually, if you think about it, because I think you assume that for things to work, you need some kind of feedback. And you don't always get that physical sense of feedback, in this case, pain or discomfort. Do a progressive program that doesn't necessarily pound like crazy amounts of weights each week.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you know? Actually, that's how you know that you're doing it kind of right. If the change in the weekly training load is kind of imperceivable. But then when you kind of zoom out and you look at, okay, what was I doing on week one of the training block? And you compare that, what am I doing in week six of the training block? It should be a day and night difference. Mm-hmm. Like the session should be longer. It should be harder. You should feel more drained after the fact. Mm. But the difference between week one and two, not really big of a difference. And then the difference from week three to four, like not really that big of a difference, really.
Right. I was just going to say, so, because I've heard you speak like this to your clients, so you would feel that from week to week six, that's potentially where you would feel some kind of change in the feeling of your body. Is that what you're saying? Like, and not necessarily like a pain or like DOMS, but maybe more like a systemic fatigue.
Yes, you're absolutely right. So in week one, like, you should feel a little bit drained because of the last training program. And then, you know, by week two, you should be feeling pretty good because you've just had that easier training week. And then as you go through your training block and you're progressively making your training harder, when you get to week six, you should be feeling pretty drained just because of the accumulated overall workload that you've done in this training block.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah, 100%. So not really having a program, that was the, like, by far, like, if I had known that that was an important thing, I would have made so much more progress and achieved a great body so much quicker, 100%. And the second thing that I wish that I had applied sooner in my training is very related to following a program, which is tracking your results. Like, if you're not following a program, then by definition, you're not tracking your results. You are literally, I was pissing in the wind. Like, I, knowing what I know now and knowing how quickly you can get results if you follow a program and if you track your results, if you don't, you're just pissing in the wind. You don't know what you did last time, so you don't know what you should do this time. And then it's just a complete mess.
That's wonderful.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have great intentions. They spend a lot of time at the gym. They show up to their training, or should I say exercise, but there's not really any structure to it. And so they get really beaten up, or they beat themselves up. They're like, oh man, I'm putting in all this effort. I'm showing up like 5 days a week, but nothing's happening. It's because there's no structure. There's no progression really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And the third thing that I wish that I had known sooner and applied in my training was the knowledge that muscles are important and they're nice. They make you look great and they're really important for health. But it's not the whole show. Like, muscles make you look great, but what makes you feel great is being strong, having a well-developed aerobic system, like being really fit and having, that's the key for having a lot of endurance and having a lot of energy, just not only when you train, but also outside of the gym. Having elasticity in your tendons, like not losing that youthful spring in your step that a lot of us have when you're a kid. You think about, think back to when you were younger, like you were probably more athletic. Running felt really easy. Any kind of a sport, you could just pick it up. But now, if you go and, you know, you go run around, you go play some kind of recreational sport, you feel slow and you feel sluggish and you don't feel very bouncy.
Yeah.
It's because you've lost some speed, power, agility and tendon elasticity. And these things are, it's a use it or lose it game. You know, you can always get a lot worse and you don't have to become an athlete. You don't have to completely overhaul your training, but just doing a couple more quick and snappy, powerful athletic drills, like some skipping, jumping, sprinting, throwing things. If you can just sprinkle that on top of your training, you are going to be feeling very, very good. And that's 100% really setting you up for some really healthy aging down the track.
Huge. Yeah. Huge difference.
Yeah. What about you? What are the three things that you wish that you had known sooner when it comes to training?
Yeah, well, our previous episode, we spoke about all of the things that happened in our early to mid-20s that we didn't really, that didn't really set us up for success. So I'm going to segue onto some of those things, characteristics that I wish that I had back then that I know would get me results a lot faster, improve my health a lot faster, and give me more confidence a lot sooner.
Okay, so what would it be?
So the first thing would be to ditch the goal of being skinny, because I don't think women or girls actually wanted this goal initially, but it's kind of been forced and into us through some conditioning, through social media, through magazines, and just, I don't know.
The society, yeah.
Yeah, society. So ditching the goal of feeling you need to be skinny and feeling you need to go down the path of just losing weight or needing to eat as low calories as possible or trying to fit into the smallest dress size possible. Like, it's just, it's BS. It's, you're going to yo-yo, you're going to feel like shit, and you're going to leave yourself in a worse off place than you were initially. And it's just not sustainable. It's not the key to long-term, sustainable, fulfilling goals with your health and fitness.
100%. And from a man's perspective, like, I don't know, it's very individual, but I've never really found, like, never in my life, like, super skinny girls. I've always been like, you know, like, are you sick or something? Like, do you, like, I think you should, you know, be home during dinner time a little bit more often. Honestly, like, it's like...
I can imagine it would be inbred, like, ingrained into the kind of the men's physiological desire.
Yeah, of course. It's like, why are men, you know, drawn to glutes. Big tits and glutes, right? Yeah. It's because it means that you've had some calories. It means that you're healthy.
That's right.
It means that you're probably going to be a good mother for my children. You can bring my offspring into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, like, deep... kind of in an unconscious level that we find those things really, really attractive. So I have no friggin' idea where this, like, skinny, sexy thing came from. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a whole other can of worms. But, like, I don't know if it was... It almost seems like it's girls dishing it out to other girls. I don't know. Let's not go there. It's too complicated for this episode. So ditching the goal of feeling you need to be skinny healthy is skinny because it's really not. And that needing to lose the most amount of weight is healthy because, yes, weight loss is important when it comes to certain demographics who find themselves in that realm of being slightly overweight or obese. However, if you're already at a healthy BMI, trying to push the skinny is just not going to do great things for you. And actually, let's talk about that really quickly. Even if you are in those populations where you are slightly overweight, just trying to be skinny is also not a great goal because it's only going to lead to more yo-yoing and it's not very sustainable. So in short, what I would prefer to do when I was that age is find a goal that is more in line with increasing muscle mass and then starting to look at decreasing body fat because that's a whole world difference when it comes to long-term results as opposed to just trying to lose weight only and trying to be skinny because muscle mass is so important for so many things. We don't have to go there.
Yeah, tell us a few.
Okay, so blood sugar regulation. It assists with healthy bone density for mental health, you know, and then being stronger. You're going to live a better life. You're going to be anti-fragile.
That's right. You don't need someone to carry your groceries.
That's it. Like, just doing everyday things. Like, I don't need you to come and help me when I need to go lift this, like, massive pot from one side of the house to the other. I can freaking do that. I can move furniture by myself. Like, it's empowering. I don't need you to open my own bloody jars. The list goes on.
Yeah.
So it feels great to be strong. Let's just put it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. But if it's purely for aesthetics, I think when girls first embark on their physique journey, they assume that they want to look skinny, but they don't actually realize that they want to look toned with muscle tone and leaner. They're completely different things. So I think understanding that from the get-go would have saved me years and years and years and probably a lot of health complications over my life.
100%. Because the negative health outcomes from, like, really starving yourself for a really long time, like, especially for women, like, if you get to the point where you start losing your period, like, that is a really, really bad thing for your bone density, and that is a really, really, that's a terrible thing.
Totally.
Like, you can totally mess your bone density up by doing a lot of yo-yoing and doing a lot of crazy dieting in your 20s and 30s just because you want to get skinny.
Yeah.
And then later in life, when you're in your 60s, when you don't give a shit about being skinny anymore, but now you're paying for the repercussions of having lower bone density. There's some really, really nasty statistics on if you break a hip when you're in your 60s, your life expectancy is a year at that point.
Totally.
It's terrible because then your cardiovascular health will go down and it's a really bad spiral. Yeah.
And, like, not even going as far as a broken hip, like, even just your quality of life as somebody in their 60s who's got all these, like, niggles and, like, bone issues and stuff, just, like, I've trained women in the past who have said to me, they're in their 60s, man, I wish that I actually put more effort into building more muscle when I was your age. Like, I look at you and I'm like, wow, you've really set yourself up for success, because they're just dealing with a whole host of issues when it comes to, like, yeah, ligament issues, tendons, bone. Yeah. And it can be really debilitating, because you've spent your whole life, you know, to get to your retirement where you have freedom, but then unfortunately you don't have the health to go along with it. Yeah. So start young.
Start young. I think that's a key message here. And I think that's a really, really important conversation.
Yeah. So the second one that's really important would be to learn how to meal prep. And a little bit further into that would be to learn how to structure a meal or a meal prep that is balanced, that is going to assist you during the day to prevent anything like snacking or binging for later on at night. So meal prepping. And, you know, if the word meal prepping overwhelms you, meal prepping your lunch. I think even just meal prepping, which can set a lot of people up for success in their graduate years. Yeah. You know, not even their graduate year. Well, yeah, technically, like your graduate years.
Yeah, and just, it doesn't have, like, yeah, meal prepping word. Like, if that gives you anxiety, let's call it cook your lunch.
Yeah.
Cook your own lunch. And this is not just for people in the early 20s. This is for anyone. Like,
anyone, absolutely.
If you want to reduce stress and save time and save money, wait a minute, like, shut up and take my money.
Absolutely.
I can save you money, I can save you time, and I can save you stress. All you have to do is to eat this red pill. Totally. Would you take it? Shut up and take my money. You got it right there. Start meal prepping.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's powerful.
And, you know, meal prepping is really important. Bringing your lunch to work is important. But I'm not just talking two pieces of toast with avocado. Like, there needs to be some balance here.
We need to look at a proper meal.
That's it. We need some protein in there. There needs to be some healthy fiber, some vegetables or, whole foods.
Yeah.
So that would be my next big thing.
What's the last one?
The third thing would be learn how to structure your week and be organized. It's huge, because that's where I feel people lack as life gets busier and busier. And it's not even necessarily a thing of people don't have time. Like, 99% of the time when people say they don't have time to me, it's not that they don't have time. It's that they haven't learned how to structure their working week and then their healthy parts of living into that week. So I think learning how to structure your week and then follow it and follow your calendar, and if you put something in there, you need to follow through.
Yeah, okay. So often you hear that, like, if you're not prioritizing it, then it's obviously not going to happen. Someone might actually, like, oh, no, I seriously prioritize my health. Mm. Like, I'm going to the gym. Yes. Like, I'm like paying hundreds of dollars a month on new Lululemon gear, and I'm like, it's 100%, it's a priority, I'm doing my best. But then it's actually what might be lacking is the skill of structuring your days and your weeks in a way that makes it all work.
Totally.
And it's not really like, you're not like overwhelming yourself.
For sure.
But then at the same time, it needs to be kind of strict enough to actually give you that structure.
Absolutely.
And not just be like willy-nilly bullshit.
Yeah, no willy-nillies. And I guess as well, being realistic about, like, the gym that you choose to go to and the locations and the logistics of things. Because, you know, I think especially if you live in a big city or if your gym is far away from home, you don't want to have to drive like 20 minutes in after a 30-minute commute back home.
Mm.
You've got to be a little bit more realistic about, okay, like, gym might mean quite early in the morning, but then being okay with getting ready at the gym to get to work. Like, yeah. I find that some people are resistant to getting ready at the gym to go to work because they don't have all the comforts of a home. But, like, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
That's right. And just hurry the hell up already in there. It's really not that difficult to bloody just get yourself in the gear and go. But sometimes watching this thing is like just getting rid of it. Anyways, let's not go there.
What?
So.
Anyway. All right, let's wrap it up.
That is today's episode, because we have a special guest.
Aww.
Someone has woken up from her little nap, and that means that we're going to be wrapping up very, very shortly. Our little girl.
Hello, Nugget.
Yes. Hope that this was useful. If there's any questions, don't hesitate to send us a message. I can be found on Instagram at Coach Puru.
And I'm at Coach Teresa West.
That is the best way to find us. If you have any comments, if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, we would love to hear those. Other than that, I hope that you have an absolutely fantastic rest of the day. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.